Hello, ladies. Happy Saturday. Let me know that you can hear me. And we will get started. Let's see. All right, who wants to get coached? I'm gonna try to beat my record from last weekend. I think I had 13 last weekend. So, but somebody's got to raise their hand. Somebody's got to be the first. Oh, mailman just came. Whitney, you're up first. Okay, everybody else, get in line. Let's do this. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you've got bangs too. Don't you love them?
Well, I love them, and I love your bangs.
Thank you. How's it going? What's up?
Good. This is my first coaching, and I wanted some coaching. I joined in January, and I started off really strong and love this program, and I've lost, or the first 2 months, I lost like 13 pounds, was doing everything and absolutely loving it, and then I kind of stalled out, and I reached this weight that I'm at now, and this weight has some kind of history with me. It's the weight that I've been for most of my adult life. So I'm really, I feel comfortable here. My clothes fit, and I feel like I recognize myself at this weight. And I was TDLing yesterday and recognized a pattern that I have done this a couple of times in the last few years. I reach this weight and then I stop.
Right.
And then I will stay here for a few months and then I will slowly gain back. And when I'm 20 pounds heavier, I don't recognize myself and it's either buy a new wardrobe or lose some weight. And so I feel really motivated there, and it's not motivated from a good place. Probably it's like, oh, I don't like myself at this weight, but I get here and then I start getting complacent and my data suggests that, yeah, of course you're not losing weight, but I'm just realizing this pattern in myself and trying to stop it before I do the 6 month stall and then the gain.
Right. Okay. So what are you going to do differently this time?
Well, I'm going to get on a coaching call first.
Okay. Check.
Really hard to do that. So check. I think I printed out this morning a May like data keeper.
Yes.
I started doing that the last just 10 days of April and my numbers were shocking and they shouldn't have been shocking because it's the choices that I'm making. But I think just seeing it in numbers is, I think, what got me to take a call because I realized my numbers are not going to help me this weight.
Right. So, okay. So you're tracking your actions, like all your basics and everything, right? Are you using the tracker that we have?
Yeah. I started using that one and I found one in the Facebook group that is just an Excel spreadsheet and that's just a little bit easier for me.
Okay. Yeah, whatever works. Okay, so what else are you going to do this month that maybe in the past, you know, you would have done when you got to this weight?
I know I need to be more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'm feeling stuck, I guess.
Okay. So, well, I mean, you're in confusion because, you know, you're doing something new, right? I mean, the only thing you've ever done is stopped here and then started gaining.
Yes.
So what's so amazing about our program is how simple it is. And it's just the four basics, right?
Yeah.
And you've got your tracker. You know what you need to do. You've already lost weight on the four basics.
Yeah.
But your brain is just like it's freaking out because this is something that you've never done before. But one of the best thoughts that worked for me was just, you know what? I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm just going to try something different this time.
Yeah.
And because obviously the other times didn't work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, doing what my brain wants to do, which, you know, it always just wants to do the easiest thing, you know, take the easiest way out. That is not the answer. So we kind of talk, you know, so four basics, track them, all of that. I mean, the action is simple, right? But what do you need to keep reminding yourself every day when you, you know, get up and make your plan and your brain still wants to go, you know, I mean, your brain is going to tell you that, you know, you always go back up when you get to this weight. What are you going to
play to? The story I'm telling myself of, you're fine at this weight. Like, you don't need to lose more weight. Like, you don't look terrible. I think I need to refocus on, be focusing more on my future self rather than my present self.
So tell me about your future self.
Yeah. So I loved the future self part of the No BS course. And it took me some time, but I came to like a motto that I tell myself that I want to be light and small. So when I say light, I mean like mentally light, like not being burdened by my weight and feeling insecure and not fitting into the clothes that I want to wear. And then I don't know a time in my life that I've ever felt small, and I just want to feel small. So that there's a million things that come under each of those categories, but that's something that I write on my plan each morning.
Okay.
And try to remind myself of.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, be sure that you're writing it on your plan. And then also, yeah, because I mean, kind of what you're going through or what you're experiencing right now is just kind of complacency, right? And sometimes that can even be more dangerous than just, you know, beating yourself up all day. You know, just kind of those little small quits, over and over again.
Yep.
So it's a matter of kind of converting them into small wins, where when you kind of recognize, okay, this could be a place where I make a small quit.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. I'm making this choice instead. And so, all of the stuff that you're writing on your plan, you know, just the thoughts and things, can help with that as well. So what are kind of to anticipate some of those obstacles, what would be some small quits that you would maybe do?
Yeah. Small quits happen when I'm with my friends, and I will make a plan going into it. But then, you know, I might say like, okay, I'm planning two drinks, and then I'm like, but everybody else is having a third drink. And then if I have a third drink, then I'm also probably going to make some poor eating choices as well. So, it's like I'm choosing comfort in the moment,
right,
instead of sticking to my goals.
Right. Right. And that's really the theme of kind of small quits. It's just, it's choosing that comfort in the moment. And so it's for you, it's okay. I am choosing, you know, you can say something like, I'm choosing discomfort in the moment for my long-term, you know, like you see my long-term, smallness and, lightness, right? Yeah. You know, just something like that, where it's, you're just totally aware of what's going on. But also realistic planning in terms of, you know, if you're going to go out with your friends, you want to realistically plan the number of drinks you're going to have and be really honest with yourself and not, you know, have wishful thinking that, oh, I'll only want two drinks. And then, I mean, just be real with yourself. And, you know, that may need to be kind of the first step.
Yeah, because then I can have the power to choose that third drink or decide, like, no, I'm just going to stick with two today. But it's there.
I was actually answering an Ask Coaches earlier, and it's like over plan, because you can always choose not to, you know, have the, you know, the one or two drinks extra, but it's like you want to just practice following the plan, no matter how many, you know, drinks and things like that.
Yeah.
So just really kind of visualize kind of your future, like what would your future self do when, your future self for like, from like, a month from here, from now, not even, you know, a long time when you've reached your goal weight or whatever, what would they do, you know, going out with friends? What are they thinking? You know, what is really important about going out with friends? You know, what is going out with friends all about? Why do I go out with friends? You know, a lot of times it's the connection and things like that. So it's just really thinking from your future self, what is important, what kind of choices you want to make. And then, like I said, kind of anticipating those obstacles and then coming up with strategies. And so one strategy is definitely to overplan.
Yeah.
And another strategy is just to visualize, you know, how you want it to go, how you want to feel at the end of the experience.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking and talking with you, I'm thinking that I'm letting my, I don't know what to call the voice that is working against me be louder than my future self and my goals voice.
Yeah, I love to just, you know, when that voice comes in, you can just, I mean, you can even be kind of like a smart ass with it and you'd be like, okay, your opinion is noted. Thank you.
Yeah.
Moving on. Yeah. And you know, or just, next. Yeah. We're not, you know, we're not doing that today, but I appreciate your input, something like that. So, because it's just practicing, not necessarily reacting to everything that comes into your brain. And, you know, we're always in control ultimately of our actions. So I think you're on a good, you got a good plan moving forward, but it's just keeping all that stuff kind of at top of mind. And you do that by putting it on your plan every day, any kind of power thoughts, you know, that you come up with, just put them on your plan every day, put them in your phone, put it on sticky notes, you know, in your car or whatever. And, you know, just be surrounded by them. So you're constantly reminded what is important.
And I've committed to, I'm going to be in PNP for a year. It might be more, but I've made that commitment because I've just decided like what's going to be different this time is I'm not quitting.
Right.
So I am in it until next January and probably longer, but I've not allowed myself to go down that route at all of like, well, maybe this is just not working because that's what I would have done in the past.
Right. So that's a huge like different thing that you've done and that you thought, right? It's like, okay. And you know, it's not that this program won't work for me. It's that, you know, or it's not that, you know, any program does, you know, any program works. It's just usually we end up quitting. but this one is actually doable and, you know, long-term and realistic and all that.
Very different than all of the other tries.
Yes. But sometimes it can result in, you know, slower weight loss, some, you know, plateaus and all that kind of stuff. And so that's where those power thoughts come in and the, you know, patience comes in. But, you know, I always say that I'd rather, you know, I'd rather take, you know, longer to lose a pound that I don't have to lose again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we all want that. So,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later. All right. Bye. Okay. Y'all, I have some kind of Slack notification that has come on. And, okay, y'all, so while y'all are raising your hand, I will see if I can find, I think maybe it was that one, where these noises are coming from, because it's driving me crazy. And Slack is, I don't know if y'all do Slack, but you have to just, it kind of defaults to making noise. You have to go in and change it if you don't want it to make noise. So anyway, okay, who's next? Let's do this. I'm sitting here waiting. I'll take a drink of coffee. Let's see. Michelle said she overplanned today. She's at a scrapbook crop. I love that. And there's always things to eat. I'm making sure if I do eat the less better choices, I will be aware of. I am making sure if I do eat the less better choices, I will be aware of what I'm eating. Exactly. That's what it's all about, y'all. It's about just being aware of what you're eating. And you're totally aware when you've actually put it on your plan, even if it's not super specific, if you just have said, okay, I'm going to eat. A lot of times if I go to like a birthday party or something like that, where I don't have any idea what's going to be there, I say, I'm going to have a plate of food and a piece of birthday cake. And so then I'm not hovering over the chips and dip, you know, and grazing, but I just get a plate and I, you know, fill it up as much as I want because I know I'm going to eat to my plus two. And then I go somewhere and sit and, you know, and eat it. And I don't just hover over the food all day. But I mean, I give myself a plate of food. So that's definitely an option for parties or things where you're not sure where it would be. Yeah, Michelle. I mean, you said, you know, you want to decrease your fog eating because you're chatting with people and you're not, you know, when you're talking and distracted and scrapbooking and all that, you know, it's harder to be aware of what you're eating. So, you know, it's just that's a really good practice for you to practice being aware, even when other things are going on, right? And you're doing other things. Let's say, Carrie, I'll answer your question, but I would love to have you come on with me and we can talk about it. That's why I'm here. Oh, wait, there is one question. Okay. Okay, Carrie, I'll answer your question and then I'll get to Lisa. Carrie says, I'm having a very difficult time planning at all. Can you maybe speak to that challenge? I can plan and keep exercise for the most part, but can't do the food thing at all. What do you think about pre-prepared plans? Any recommendation? I mean, you mean just planning like for the week? That's fine. I lost most of my weight only making a weekly plan, and not, this was before we actually did daily plans. We just did weekly plans. And I would make a plan for the week and say, okay, these are my options for breakfast. These are my options for lunch. These are my options for dinner. And then any kind of special occasions or whatever, I would put those down. But, oh, you're saying more like food delivery. That's fine. Make it as easy as possible. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. I mean, if you are feeling resistance to planning, make it as easy as possible for yourself. But here's the deal. You're feeling resistance because of a thought that you're having. And Carrie, I want you to identify that thought and put it in the comments if you know. I mean, why? Just ask yourself, why am I so resistant to planning? You can do it. Sounds like you can do it for exercise, but you can't do it with food. And I mean, you know, the food delivery will help because you don't have to prepare it, but you still got to eat what's on your plan, you know? So where's the resistance coming from? Okay. So I'll get Lisa here and then I'll see where Carrie is. She wants to comment. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you. This is my first coaching call. I joined in October of last year, uh-huh. And I kind of half-assed it until January. I went to camp and changed my life.
Awesome.
And I've been doing great. I've lost about 32 pounds since the January camp.
Amazing.
And then I find myself in a new situation and I'm really sitting here and I'm obsessing over food. Of course, it's just a need, I know, for comfort. But I accepted a new job and I moved to a new city and I'm separated from my husband. He just left this morning to go back and sell our house. And so I'm sitting here just obsessed with what could I eat, looking for comfort. And it's really a tough place.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about, so what are you feeling right now? You're feeling, you say obsessed, but what are you really, what feelings are you really wanting to not feel right now?
Sad.
Yeah.
I feel sad and I feel scared. It's a new job and a new place to live. And so I've done probably 6 TDLs this mm-hmm. morning, trying to work through the emotion and just feel the feels. And
Yeah, you're doing the work. And sadness, I mean, you know, sadness is, you know, totally normal for you to feel, right? In terms of, now scared is, may not necessarily be something that, you know, it may be something you choose to feel, but it's like, what are you scared of happening? What is the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Failure. You know, that's, it's just a new job. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to tune that into gratitude and excitement and enjoying a new challenge. And so I see the positives in it. But my brain wants so much distraction right now from all of this. I'm trying to think of like, what's my next best move besides the refrigerator?
Right. So what have you come up with, or have you come up with anything?
Well, I'm trying to talk myself into going for a walk. Like the first call, I'm like, hey, I'm joining a coaching call. So I'm like, oh, what perfect timing. When the alert came up, I thought, okay, it's time for the first.
Yes. Yes. So this is something, right? This is something instead of eating that you're doing. So I'm so proud of you for that. Yeah, and like a walk. But also, I think probably since you've been at camp, you know, we sat and worked on experiencing our feelings.
That's right.
And so I want you to do some of that as well. And of course, you can do that while you're walking, or you can do that when you're just sitting at home. But it's, you know, that's the work that we are all ultimately wanting to get to, is that we are okay with feeling any feeling and just allowing ourselves to feel it, allowing ourselves to cry, allowing ourselves to just feel hurt. And, you know, at camp, we talk about, you know, like, how does it feel in your body? You know, it's uncomfortable. You've got maybe a stomach ache or kind of a lump in your throat or things like that, but it's all just vibrations in your body, right?
Yeah. And they pass.
You know, and they do pass. They do pass.
I'm going to survive this and it'll pass. And I think it's just hard because saying goodbye to my husband at the airport this morning was...
You'll miss him, right?
Yeah. And he's a big part of what I think has helped me be successful so far. You know, this man buys groceries that I put on a list. He prepares food. He is a huge part of my support network too. So I'm a little, you know, I have to take a lot more accountability for myself too. So,
well, I think for you, it's a matter of kind of thinking through that and thinking, okay, how can I make this as easy as possible for me?
Yeah.
This time, right? You don't have to do everything that he used to do or that he, you know, has been doing for you. But really, that could be a really good, you know, kind of power question for you to ask yourself. Like, how can I make life as easy as possible right now for me while I have all these changes going on? And, you know, it may not look like life, you know, recent life because of everything that's going on. But, you know, it's just how can you make it easy and how can you just allow yourself to feel without, you know, turning to things to cover up your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You are just, you're in the middle of the work right now. I mean, you are, and I was just thinking, like, it's like you're building this muscle. I think about when I was on the treadmill this morning and I was so uncomfortable and I wanted to stop and I was hot and sweaty. And I said, no, I'm building up, you know, my endurance. I'm building up my muscle or whatever you want to call it. And that's where you are. You're doing the uncomfortable work, but you're building your muscle to be able to allow yourself to feel anything and to, you know, just be okay with it.
That's a great perspective. Mm-hmm. It's part of the journey.
It's part of the journey. And it's the most important part of the journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just, that's what we're here on this earth to do, I believe, is to feel and to, you know, just have emotions. And like you said, they'll pass. And then because you know that food isn't going to solve anything, that food will actually end up, you know, making it worse.
I'll feel sadder.
You'll feel more sad. You'll, whatever emotion you're feeling, you'll feel more of it.
Yeah. Right.
And actually that reminds me of a call I had a few weeks ago. The theme was choose your crappy. You know, it's like you're going through crappy right now. But you could also, and then, you know, you could also have the crappiness of having, you know, overeaten, and then that's crappy too. So it's going to be crappy no matter what for a while.
Yeah.
And this is the crappy that you want to choose.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
That's right. I don't want to derail myself.
Right.
But it's my first, so it's the quiet, you know, mm-hmm. after he's gone and we've mm-hmm. been so busy, getting ready for the move. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with myself?
Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah. I mean, you know, put on some music, watch a, you know, a show you might like, but it's watch out for, you know, distracting, right? You don't want to distract, but you also want to give yourself some comfort. And there's a fine line, right? But it's like, you know, think about, okay, you're wanting comfort. How else can you get comfort without food, right? And, you know, and again, ultimately feeling your feelings are going to give you, it's, that's going to give you comfort because you know that you can, you'll be able to handle it and you'll come out the other side. But also just what are some things that you really enjoy doing that could also give you comfort?
Yeah.
Opening your mind to that too.
Yeah. I think I need to get out of this apartment too.
Yes.
Get out. We'll take maybe a walk. I need a massage today or something.
Massage. I also like to, because I mean, sometimes I can tend to go shopping instead of overeating, but I have gotten to where like, okay, I'm just going to go and look at stuff. You know, I'm just going to go and like, you know, window shop or whatever. Yeah. Just kind of get out amongst people and things. I mean, I work from home, so I like to do that sometimes, but it's just like, I'm not going to replace one, you know, we call this buffering, right? It's like, I'm not going to replace one buffer, which is food, with another buffer, which is, you know, either shopping or, you know, Facebooking or, you know, other things, but I'm going to just go and do something that I enjoy doing that's not going to give me any negative, you know, results or negative consequences. So just think about something you really enjoy. Yeah. Massage.
Yeah.
Walk, something like that. Okay. You're doing the work. You're doing awesome. I know you can do it. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Yes, we are building our mental muscles. It's just like our body, right? Like, you know, because we talk about physical weight and mental weight. So we build our physical muscles and we lose weight, and we build our mental muscles and we lose mental weight. So it's just the same thing. You know, it's like we go to the gym and lift weights and I run on the treadmill to build my physical muscle, and we feel our feelings and, you know, sit in discomfort to build our mental muscle. So, yes, it sounds like, I can't see y'all's names cut off. Let me pop out the, y'all know that you can do this, that you can pop out the chat where you can see everyone's name. Melissa says she's packing for a cross-country move. So this is great for you to kind of plan ahead, right? Because you're going to be feeling the feels for sure. That's a good idea, Julie. She needs to connect with some people in her area. So Lisa, if you're still on here, reach out in the Facebook group and let people know where you are. Or you could email support and direct your message to Mary Jo, and she can get you connected to some folks in your area. Because at this point, we have people all over the world. Let's see. Carrie, I didn't hear back from Carrie. So, okay, who else? Come on, y'all. Let's do this. Oh, Carrie. Okay, here we go. Here's her answer. Yes, Lisa. So, yeah, get connected locally with folks. There's always somebody nearby. The resistance is my big question. I think it's something around feeling controlled by something that I'm not 100% committed to. But why can't I get committed and attached to my why I want to lose weight so that the commitment and planning come automatically? It's not going to come automatically at first. Planning is not going to feel amazing at first. It's going to feel crappy at first because you're doing something new. So you have to give it time to come automatically. I mean, for me, it's pretty automatic and it's been like 5 years. So, but it's still some days I'm like, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to have to do this. I just want to eat whatever I want. I mean, your brain never really gives up. It's pretty darn stubborn sometimes. So yeah, I mean, you're going to feel controlled at first. You're not going to be 100% committed to the plan at first. That's all totally normal. And you do it anyway. You just do it. Because right now, y'all think, and this is for so many of y'all with this planning, you think something is wrong if it doesn't feel amazing. And that, you know, oh my gosh, I'm just doing this for my health and I'm planning and I don't have to think about what I want to eat. Well, if that's something new to you, it's not going to feel great at first. But you have to just trust the process and, you know, commitment is kind of like motivation. It's earned. It's earned through action. And so you're not going to necessarily feel committed at first. Y'all know I love my favorite quote is, I doubt it, but I do it. I doubted it for a long time, but I still did that shit because I saw all these other people losing weight. I believed in Corinne and her journey, and I just kept going with it. You know, and another thought that I mentioned earlier was, you know, I'm just going to try something different this time. Even though I doubt this process, I'm going to keep doing it because everything else I've tried hasn't worked. So, Megan, if you want to get on with me, raise your hand. Any suggestions on dealing with grief? I've done TDLs about the loss of my grandmother, but I'm just not wanting to feel the hurt. How can I allow those feelings so that I can move forward and learn to accept it? You feel your feelings. I mean, there's no magic answer. You feel the pain. Your grandmother died. She was your best friend. You're going to feel pain. It's going to feel terrible for a while. So many of us resist all of this emotion when someone dies, when it's totally normal for us to be in pain when someone dies. Someone has died. You're going to miss them. You feel sad. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's totally normal. And so the resistance that this shouldn't be happening, that it shouldn't feel this bad, you know, grief is different for everyone. Everyone experiences grief in a different way. For a different amount of time. Some people, you know, come out of it very quickly. Others don't. But the common thing about it is that it's all totally normal because we are humans and we're supposed to feel emotion and we're supposed to feel sad and feel pain when people die. So the easy answer for you, or the quick answer for you, is to feel everything. And, you know, that means that, you know, it's up to you when you move forward and when you accept it. You know, but you're not going to move forward or accept it if you're not allowing it, if you're not allowing yourself to feel it, and you're kind of white knuckling through the pain and the hurt, right? I mean, I want you to just sit somewhere in the quiet, kind of like what Lisa needs to do. You know, just give yourself, like, set a timer for like a minute or two and just let yourself sit and feel what you're feeling. Feel the pain in your body. And this is something we do at camp where you just sit and you think, you decide what you want to feel. So maybe you want to feel sadness. And so you sit and think of things that create sadness in you. You feel the sadness. You think about how it feels in your body. And sometimes people cry, you know, because that's really just a physical manifestation of your emotions. It's totally normal, totally fine. So many of us see it as a sign of weakness or something that we shouldn't be doing. I wish I cried more. I don't cry very often. It's a pretty big deal when I cry. I know I'm getting to some stuff. I'm glad when I cry because I know I'm doing the work that I need to be doing as a human. So do that exercise. And again, just set the timer for, you know, 5 minutes, maybe even just 1 minute starting out. And then allow yourself to, you know, take a break and go do something else or whatever. But that's how you move forward. And that's how you accept grief and how you move through grief is feeling your emotions. Okay, y'all, who else wants to raise their hand? There's 60 people on here. I am waiting. What's the deal? I had like a line of people last week and now I'm begging you. Oh, let's see what Megan said. I feel like I have to be strong for everyone else in the family. I put off crying for 6 months. I appreciate your input and will definitely try the exercise. I'll be adding that to today's plan. Here's the thing. I have to be strong for everyone else in the family is your thought. It is not a fact. Everyone else has to feel their emotions too. You know, you're not the special unicorn that doesn't have to feel her emotions or doesn't get to feel her emotions. Everyone should feel their emotions. And the best way to do that, the best way for you to, the best thing you can do is to be an example for your family that it's okay to feel your emotions. And it's okay to accept what is happening and decide that you're just going to you know, kind of go through this journey of grief. Whatever comes, you can always handle it because it's always just a matter of experiencing emotions, which are vibrations in your body. They come and go. And that is what we call, there's this term called clean grief. Is that what it's called? Clean? Yeah, clean grief. I think that's it. Where you actually, I mean, where you're not resisting your grief. You're not resisting the sadness and the pain. You're allowing yourself to feel. Okay. Christine. Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. What's up?
My question's about on the plan, 24-hour plan, like the goals sheets, like the 1 week, like I forget how it's worded, but that makes me stressful, like to plan goals in advance. Like, I guess it's like self-doubt that I'm wondering how to get past that and really embrace the whole future self. Mindset and all that. Like
So what's an example of a goal that you're kind of resistant to setting?
Well, the 60-day goal, I think, is the one that gives me the most anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then just the whole, like, really picturing my future self, naming my future self. Like, I guess it's just because I failed in the past, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's totally normal in terms of kind of when you don't have any evidence from the past, right, of being able to do this, you know, working on your future self can be, you know, challenging at first, and that's totally normal. So it's just a matter of, have you been through the, are you new?
I'm new. Yeah.
Okay. So this is perfect timing because we are doing the future self module next week. And so that's module 3 in the No BS program.
Okay.
And so that will tell you all about what you, you know, how to kind of envision your future self. It explains those 4 circles that are in the planner that you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And kind of what the purpose of those is in terms of like looking at your daily, you know, actions at, you know, looking what it's a week out and then a month out and then 60 days out. And so, yeah. So what I want you to do is just start going through those lessons in module 3, if you haven't already.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's like, you don't have to have a full, version of your future self, you know, right away. Right. You don't have to have a name for her and exactly what you want her to be or anything like that. You can just start with, okay, what is one thing that will be different about my future self compared to myself now? What would you answer if I asked you that?
I guess more comfortable in my own skin, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of think about that, like the next week. Kind of ask yourself that, like, what would that mean to me? Like, how would my life be different if I was comfortable in my own skin right now? Like, what would I do differently? Would I, you know, how would I do with the 4 basics? How would I do with, you know, in social situations? Really put yourself into that place But just that one thing, if I was comfortable in my own skin.
Okay.
Yeah. And kind of do some writing about that. You can just write it up like in the notes section of your, of the planning page or the assessment page.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be a big, you know, journal entry or anything like that if you don't want to, but just kind of put your mind to work on that. And then just start there with your future self. And okay. I think as you go through those lessons in the OBS too, you'll start to kind of think more and more about, you know, more of what your future self would look like.
Okay.
But here's the last thing. So those four circles that are in the planner, I mean, you know, if you're not quite ready to do a 60-day goal, you don't have to fill that out. You could just start mm-hmm. with a weekly goal, or you could start with a monthly goal.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the whole thing with goals is that it's not necessarily about achieving the goal. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, we set these goals and we think, okay, we're going, like, if we don't achieve this goal, we're a total failure. Right. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, it is. I truly believe that setting a goal is all about the person that you become in striving for that goal. So let's say you had a goal to lose 10 pounds in the next 60 days. Well, I mean, you know, and you had your actions that you needed to do, and you had your weekly goal. But let's say you only lost 4 pounds that, you know, during that time. How would you feel if you lost 4 pounds, but you'd set a goal for 10?
I feel kind of like I didn't meet the goal.
Right.
Yeah.
But you lost 4 pounds, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's really a matter of kind of rethinking that, where it's like the goal is not necessarily to achieve the goal. It is to, but you know, even though you only lost 4 pounds, you probably got pretty good at doing your four basics, right? Mm-hmm. You probably got pretty good at kind of striving for a goal and thinking about a goal, but it's totally okay that you didn't achieve it because you still lost 4 pounds, and that's awesome. And now you can set a new goal, and it's like it kind of gives you freedom. Like you don't put so much pressure on yourself to just achieve the goal, because that's not really the point. It's about just all the actions and all the small choices that you make trying to get to the goal.
1 minute. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. So go back through those lessons in the future self, and then start thinking about that one thing we talked about.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye. Christine, future self. Okay. Beth says, I've identified as overweight for so long. It's difficult to think of myself as thin, but I want it. I think that mindset causes the self-sabotage. Yeah. So that's where, like, you don't just think of your future self as thin. That's why we ask you to, and this is all in module 3 in OBS. How does your life look differently when you are thin, right? It's not just, oh, I'll be thin. It's, what do I do on a daily basis? Do I do the four basics on a daily basis? What do I do in social situations? I was just talking about, like, what kind of choices do I make in social situations? What do I do when, you know, when things come up at the last minute and, you know, and it's not on my plan? That's how you develop your future self. Because just saying, I want to be thin, it doesn't get you anywhere, because if you've never been thin, or if it's been a long time since you've been thin, that doesn't really help you in terms of thinking of your future self. You got to get specific as you can in terms of, like, okay, what is my life going to be like? Like, what is the schedule of a typical day in the life of my future self? I get up, I'll you know, kind of tell you all about what I do. I get up, I go work out. I am my future self from when I was, before I lost weight, right? And, you know, I work out, I come home and I do my journaling and I do, you know, personal development. then, you know, I take a shower and I, you know, I fix my coffee and I go to work. And, you know, it's just, it's like, you know, I plan, I make my plan, all that kind of stuff, right? It's like, get specific, because then you can work on living. The whole point about like envisioning your future self is that you actually live in that future self life now. Because everything that I just said, I can be doing no matter what I weigh, no matter when it is, right? So you have to practice living and kind of envisioning yourself in that future self. That makes sense. Yeah, and totally, Melissa, your future self can change daily, because like you're always you're always a version of your future self from yesterday, right? So tomorrow, I can even think about tomorrow, my future self tomorrow, right? So, yeah. So that mindset, she said that mindset causes self-sabotage when you can't really envision your future self. So that's why you've really got to get specific about what your future self does and says, and really just embody that. And because if you just sit in confusion about your future self, yeah, you're going to self-sabotage for sure. All right, Laura, you're up next. Let's see, there she is. Hello, let me unmute you.
Here we go.
Hi. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Hi. Thanks for taking my call, so to speak. So I have joined the tribe because I have frequently used food to manage my work stress. Mm-hmm. I have white knuckled a 60-pound weight loss and just joined the tribe in April to really work on managing my mind around this, because honestly, I've white knuckled it to where I am. And I think specifically the thing that I'd like to talk to you about is using the thought model for time management.
Okay.
And specifically around procrastination. And even more specifically than that, around, I have a very hard time transitioning from one big task on my to-do list to the next big task on my to-do list.
Okay. Tell me about that transition. Like, what are you thinking when you need to stop one thing and move on to another thing?
So when I've, you know, completed one big task that was, especially if it was something that was difficult, that, you know, I had a hard time getting started on, and it was a hard task to do, it is really, really difficult for me to then transition to the next task. I mean, I almost feel like, you know, too tired or, you know, just too overwhelmed. I hate that word, but I feel too overwhelmed to like move to the next task. And you know, if, of course, I try to give myself breaks between, but if I give myself that break, it's hard to get going again.
Okay. So, well, but it sounds like it's hard to get going on the next one, whether you take a break or not. So why don't you give yourself a break? And then, you know, and then go back to it.
But if I do take the break, then it's really hard to get going again. That's the part I can't, like,
but
if I take
it's break, really hard to get going anyway, even if you don't take a break, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you can do it either way, but, you know, like I said, if it's hard both ways, maybe you need a break from that really hard work. And you just need to practice coming, you know, taking the break and then starting the new project. And it will be hard at first, but maybe your brain needs a break during that time.
And I suspect it probably does need a break. But then again, it's that getting restarted and getting, you know, then it's almost like procrastination again.
Right. And so that's where your work is. That's where you got to practice, like, okay, I got a break. Now I'm not going to want to start this new project. but I'm going to do it anyway, because I've got to get my work done. And this is my opportunity to practice doing what I say I'm going to do, following my schedule and all of that. And you I was saying earlier, you build that muscle, and eventually you'll start looking forward to these breaks, and then it'll get easier to get back going again because your brain will have rested for a little while. I think you're looking for it not to be hard.
Yeah, I get it. I'm looking for something to get going again.
You're looking for the easy way. Yes. Yeah. And it's just like you're doing something new, and so it's going to be hard at first, but you can handle it, right?
Well, I mean, obviously I have. I'm successful in my work, but it definitely, it impedes my happiness, that's for sure, because I don't feel like I'm as efficient as I want to be.
Well, and go ahead.
And that creates stress. That creates a lot of stress, and then the eating and,
I'm not as efficient as I want to be is your thought. It's just a thought that you're choosing.
I guess I've never looked at it that way.
So if you put that into the model, how does that feel? How does that thought feel?
I feel bad about myself. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not, living up to expectations around my productivity.
And that's actually another thought.
Ah.
Because the feeling is one word.
The feeling is disappointed.
Disappointed in yourself?
In myself. Yeah, absolutely.
But do you have, are those thoughts really true?
I think sometimes they may be.
You haven't gotten fired yet, right?
I work in an industry where there are a lot of super high performing, very driven people. And I suppose I'm one of them also, but I don't always feel as efficient as some of my peers.
But that, again, that's just your thought. That's not necessarily because you don't know what they're doing and you don't know how efficient they really are. That's their thought, right? These are all just a big old story you've created in your head that you're not as efficient as these other people, but you both still have jobs. So you must be doing something right.
You make it so simple. It really is simple, isn't it? Like those are just thoughts, aren't they?
But you've thought them for so long, you think they're facts.
Definitely. Definitely.
But they're just your story around your work.
So what are the baby steps I take in reprogramming those thoughts?
So I want you to ask yourself every time you think one of those thoughts again, I want you to ask yourself, what if this wasn't true?
Okay.
What if this was just a thought? What might I want to think? What could I possibly think differently about this that wouldn't create disappointment or stress? Because, if you go down the model, you're thinking these thoughts, you're feeling disappointment, you're feeling stress, and then you're eating, right? That's the action. And procrastinating. So what could I think instead that would create a different feeling for me and that wouldn't cause these actions that I don't want?
So I guess I could, especially when this is a thought that comes up at a time where I'm having trouble transitioning, I could be more positive about the task that I did accomplish.
Yes.
That would be helpful. And to focus more on that, I just don't know that that's always enough to like get me going on the next thing. You'll feel just as good when you get the next thing done. I should be happier about what I have gotten done. Yeah, this is very simple, isn't it? Why does it look so hard when you're doing it alone inside your head?
Because you're wrapped up in your story about it. You know, you're wrapped up in your story. You're wrapped up in all these, you know, the thoughts that you think are facts. And so it's hard for, I mean, that's why I have a coach. You know, everybody has a coach because we can't get out of our own story. We can't get out of our own head very easily. I mean, you know, that's why we journal. And so we can, you know, we can do that a lot of times, but sometimes we just get stuck, and that's what a coach is for. So, but here's the thing I want to say before you keep talking about like, but that's not going to help me get going. And that's not going to help me. I think what you're looking for is motivation to keep going for the next task. And the whole thing about motivation is that it's earned through action. And so it's earned through action, through taking action.
Tell me more.
When you don't want to. It's earned through just action when you would rather be doing anything else. And then you earn the motivation at the end because you've accomplished something, and then you want to accomplish more. And then you just build and build and build on top of that. And so the more you do things when you don't want to and when you don't feel like it, the more you build that muscle of momentum and motivation.
All right.
And I mean, that's it. It feels like crap, but it works. But so there is no easy button. There is no magic pill. There is no magic, you know, fifth basic.
But I mean, there's got to be some change to my thinking that is going to at least facilitate it better.
Yes, yes. I mean, obviously, if you have a thought that is working for you that can push you forward and ultimately create the action of doing it anyway. I mean, what would that be for you? So let's say in the action line is do it anyway. What do you need to think and feel to do it anyway?
I guess I need to think and feel that, you know, what the light at the end of the tunnel. I need to think about what the light at the end of the tunnel is, and that. Unfortunately, I think in the optimal situation, it would be, you know, free time, time off, ending the day with a sense of satisfaction, or a to-do list that felt complete. But, and I'm probably going to speak a feeling, so brace yourself. but probably I am, you know, but I always feel like my to-do list is never done. There's always more I can be doing.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and
I have trouble setting those boundaries, I guess. Right. I need to work on those. Like, this is enough for today.
Yes. I was just about to say, that's a thought I work on all the time. That's a thought I practice all the time. I did enough today.
I do try to do that. I mean, I have gotten better at setting boundaries. I'm not like checking emails at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and I've really drawn a lot of lines as far as that goes. But yeah, there's that when you're falling asleep and you're thinking about it, and then you wake up and first thing you're thinking about what the day is going to bring. And I think that those feelings that I generate around that really add to the procrastination. I need to do a lot of models. I need to be writing all this down and working on it.
Well, we're recording, so you can go back and listen to it too. So
I definitely will.
Yeah. Because it's just kind of make notes on what you want to, you know, kind of start processing and, you know, just get to work on it. But you already are, you kind of know what you need to do, I think. And you know that you're starting to recognize that awareness of, you know, all this stuff that I've been thinking all this time, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to think of my work that way. I can always choose something different. I did enough today.
I need to choose to like it and enjoy it. And I do. I mean, I love my work. I'm very lucky to do what I do. All right. I got to keep working on it.
Yeah. But a lot of time, you know, I kind of see it as like zooming in and zooming out. It's like you are zooming in right now on just everything that needs to be done and all the, but it's so important to zoom out and say, okay, what have I accomplished? You know, what did I accomplish this week? What did I accomplish in my career? You know, big picture, just to remind, cause your brain doesn't remind you of that very often. You know, it only wants to focus on the problems and what is hard and what isn't going right and all that stuff. And so it's important for you. I mean, you have to intentionally zoom out and say, wait a minute, you know, I'll get this figured out. I have accomplished all of this stuff, you know, in my career. And that's why I think it's so important. I'm looking at my planner, you know, I review my week every week. What did I accomplish this week? Because we forget. I mean, we forget what we accomplished yesterday, much less a few days ago. So you've got to just get into an intentional practice of doing that.
Maybe I need a done list instead of a to-do list.
There you go. Yeah. You need to keep your to-do list with everything checked off and go back and review it and say, gosh, you know, I got a lot done today or this week or whatever. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Great thoughts. Thank you. I hope this was helpful to me. I hope it was helpful to someone else.
I'm sure it was. They all are. So, yeah. So all of the calls help other people too. So love it.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. See ya. Bye. Laura. Let's see. Trying to make notes here. All right. Let's see. Laura, another Laura said, Corinne told me last week to ask, how hard do I want to make this? She said, there's no magic thought that will make getting started on stuff you don't want to do either. Yes. But yeah, you can always make it. It's not going to necessarily be easy, but we like to make it a lot harder than it has to be, for sure. All right, Tanaya. That's how you say it. Hello?
Hello. Hold on. I have no idea where you are.
Okay.
I can't. Oh, there you are.
I can't see you though. Yeah, do show camera or video. Start video. There you are. Yes.
It's Tanaya.
Tanaya. Okay.
Hi.
Yes.
I've never been on a call before, and I'm having a really hard day.
Okay. Tell me about it.
So, I've been crying all morning. So sorry. I have spent, I got to give a little backstory. I left my husband in January of 2017, and it was the first time that I'd ever been single since I was really young. The first time I got married, I was 16, I'm 36 now, and I've spent almost 20 years in relationship with two men, from 14 to 24. So I took 2 years and was really intentional about personal growth and finding who I am and who I want to be and how I want to show up in the world. And I've done a ton of healing. I walked through healing prayer with my church team. I have been in really intensive counseling, EMDR, lots and lots of really cool things. And I joined the tribe. I found Corinne in December, and I joined in January. I'm a New Year baby. Mm-hmm. And I've lost 67 pounds and 22 inches from my body in decades of emotional shit. And about a month or two ago, I said, okay, maybe it's time to start dating. And I've been on multiple dates and not really found a connection and found some fat girl thinking, because, you know, it's all about the online dating profile and men are cruel. The dating world is not kind, and there are a lot of I found a guy that I have been seeing for the last little while, and we have really emotionally connected, and then circumstances happen. Okay. And he was on vacation, and so he was away for almost a week and didn't text very often. And we had gotten into a kind of a rhythm, a groove of texting, you know, good morning and good night and all day in between. And then it just kind of stopped, and now he's home, and it hasn't come back yet. And I know that he's a police officer, and he works nights, and there's lots of things that are just circumstantial, but they're coinciding with this really irrational fear of abandonment that's coming to the surface in really ugly ways. And
I think you're recognizing just the circumstances, right? In terms of like, he's back home, I haven't heard from him, but what are you making that mean about you?
It's starting all over again. Like I was just talking to my mini tribe, the dream team, Tracy, and I was telling her, like, silence is brutal for me. And it was an abuse tactic that my parents used and my second husband used against me in really damaging ways that, and that's part of where all of this is coming from, is because I am now having recollections of moments. I remember the first time that my mom stopped talking to me for 4 days when I was six. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming right back to those feelings of abandonment, and that I have to perform, or that I have to do more, or that I have to be more, or that I have to be better in order for me to make this work.
But I can tell by what you're saying is that you don't want to be thinking this anymore.
No.
Just because that's what's happened in the past. That's all that you know, right?
Yes. And we've even had a discussion about that. And he, you know, he says all the right things. And I know, like, my head and my heart are very disconnected, and I don't know how to get them on the same page, because I know that he's not doing anything intentionally to hurt me. Mm-hmm. I know that. And that it's all in my head. Mm-hmm. But the physical response has been extremely overwhelming too. I'm having, yesterday I had a pit in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And I could not shake this feeling of the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and it's stupid. It's not stupid. It's irrational, because we've not been together for very long. There's lots of other things that I feel like I should be more upset about in the world than this.
No, but I think you saying that, you describing it as irrational, doesn't help you. It is rational to you, because again, that's all that you know, right? And that's okay. It's okay that you are feeling the things that you're feeling right now, and thinking the things that you're feeling, because that's what you've experienced in the past. Yes. So I think for you, the first step is just kind of accept that it's okay what's happening right now. Because I think what you're really thinking is that this, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't be
shooting on myself.
You what?
I said I hate shooting on myself. Yeah. I try really hard. I want to not shoot on other people, and I don't want to shoot on myself, because it's not productive.
Right.
And it's not beneficial, and it doesn't serve me. And I know that, but you're right. I mean, I'm not saying the word should, but by saying irrational, that is a should.
Right. Right. I mean, that basically irrational means it shouldn't be happening. It's not rational. And what if you just allowed yourself to get all this out and, you know, do journaling, let yourself cry, let yourself feel that pit in your stomach, feel all that and not resist it, because I think you're resisting it right now. And that only intensifies it, right?
And prolongs it. Yes. Part of me, I know that there's layers, and this is not a layer I anticipated today, and I feel like it caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And so last night, I had good, better, best on my dinner plan because I didn't have a plan for dinner. It's the goal this week is to plan. It's my today I will food prep and meal plan. But yesterday I didn't have a plan. And so I just wrote good, better, best. Mm-hmm. And he didn't call me. And I've become compulsive at looking at my phone. Did he see my text? Is he going to text? Are there three little dots? I feel like a high school girl all over again. And it's maddening. So I went and watched Long Shot, which I don't know if anybody knows, but it's a romantic comedy that's just silly. And I ate shit that made me sick. And I just didn't want to feel anything. Mm-hmm. And
what if all of that is okay?
I don't know.
It is, right? It's all okay. What you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're doing are all just choices that you're making. And that it's all okay. There's no timeline. There's no instruction manual on how you're supposed to handle this. There's no checklist. You're just doing and making choices the best way you can right now. That doesn't mean you necessarily keep doing what you're doing, but you're not going to move forward until you accept what has already happened as just okay. You're just trying to protect yourself. You're feeling unsafe right now. You're feeling threatened right now.
Threatened is, I feel like I know I love people really well. And I know that about myself, and I don't add strings to that love, and I give it freely. And most of the people that I love don't have the capacity to love me back in the way that I would anticipate. So, and what I mean by that is I mentor teen moms that are angry with the world, and I mentor middle school kids that are just struggling, and I show up for our homeless community and have a true passion for people who are addicted to drugs and mental health, and I can love them really well, really close, because nothing that they say is hurtful. Nothing that they do is a reflection of me. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I don't know where the line got crossed. Mm-hmm. With this guy that, I mean, he is like heaven and earth above anything that I've ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. And I'm so terrified of messing it up and making this all about me. And Tracy says, you know, regardless of the outcome, that I will be okay. And my response is, I'm just tired. And I know that that's a thought. And I know I listen to Corinne talk about the tired, and I get up and I do it anyways. Mm-hmm. But I want a stupid easy button for just once, just one fucking time. So I made my plan today.
Yeah.
I made my my plan today, and I didn't take into consideration any of the emotional shit that I'm dealing with. So I almost feel like I'm, in one way, there's a disconnect. Like, I've been able to compartmentalize my plan mm-hmm. from my emotions, and I'm not connecting. I don't know how to get the connection between my head and my heart so that I can show up for me in this moment, in this space. I feel like I need to do something. And I know that that's not the right answer. Mm-hmm.
So tell me more, let's talk more about this connection between your head and your heart, because you're thinking you said disconnect a lot, right? That mm-hmm. something isn't going on here. But what if it's okay that your heart is saying one thing? This happens to us all the time. When we intellectually know what we need to do, or we intellectually know what we need to think, but then our heart is feeling something different. And so what if you just thought, you know what, I'm just going to let myself feel whatever I want to feel right now. And that's okay. Whatever it is.
Okay. I don't believe that, but I will trust you to believe it for me.
Yeah, I think that's where you are. Because I don't think you're quite ready to believe it yet. And that's okay too. Everything is okay. You're going to doubt, you're going to doubt that you should be feeling all this stuff. But I think you need to allow yourself to feel all of it. All, just the entire range of emotions.
Okay.
And, but your plan can be something that's kind of like a life preserver for you in terms of like, it's something that can be kind of a steady thing in your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably served that purpose in the past. So, yes. I mean, as you've lost all this weight.
Right.
It's like your accountability group. It's like P&P. It's a support there for you. And so it's just going to support you, because going off your plan is not a good idea, right?
Right.
You tried that yesterday and that didn't work.
My son, bless his heart, I love him to pieces. He's 18 and he knows I'm emotional. He pays attention to silly things like that, which is incredible. I love that I raised him that way. And so he came home from a work meeting and brought me breakfast. And he brought me my favorite breakfast, which is 2 bacon and egg biscuits from Carl's Jr., which are huge and fatty and terrible for me and make me feel yucky every day, and a Big Dutch Brothers. And I said, but it's not on my plan. He's like, I don't care. You're emotional. You can have it. And I threw it away. Yeah. I had it unwrapped right before I got on this call. I had it unwrapped and in front of me. I did drink my chai tea. That happened.
But you know he was doing that for you, because he loves you, right? It doesn't have to do with the biscuits, right?
No.
He was doing that because he loved you and, he thought that would make you feel better.
Yes.
But
I was able, I mean, even that's like such a huge win for me.
So huge.
So even huge. In this emotional wreck of a state that I am, I threw away the biscuits mm-hmm. and I said, this is not who I want to show up to be mm-hmm. today. And I feel like I'm rushing this process because I just want to get to the next best me. I want to be available to others in a way that's healthy and strong, and being weak and vulnerable terrifies me. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where your work is that it's okay to be weak and vulnerable sometimes. Sometimes we need other people we need your son to take care of you. You don't always have to be the strong one.
And again, in, my past experience, this part of my journey is very new. Mm-hmm. I was a mom at a really young age and a wife, and then was homeless, and it's always just been me against the world. And I just am so beyond grateful mm-hmm. for the tribe community that just wraps around me. And I, you know, I'm leaning in to Brené Brown and reading Daring Greatly mm-hmm. and talking all about vulnerability. And again, my head gets it, but I'm just mm-hmm. scared. And I don't want to derail. This is, mm-hmm. so first of all, this is the longest I've ever been on like a diet plan or any kind of program or process. I'm at the weight today at 242 pounds. I've never been this little since I was an adult. Bryce, my son, I gained 100 plus pounds with him. Almost 19. He'll be 19 on the 17th. Mm-hmm. And I gained over 100 pounds with him, and I just never lost it. And I was miserable. And I'm scared that if I just sit with all of this yuck, that I won't come back, that I'll lose the momentum.
I don't see any sign of that. You threw the biscuits away that your son gave you today. That's a pretty good sign that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, don't discount that, how big of a thing that was. Give yourself credit for that. And here's the other thing. I think that you are, what if this was exactly the thing that was supposed to happen? Because this is the next thing in your journey, that you're supposed to learn how to be vulnerable. Someone said in the comments, there's great strength in vulnerability. And I totally agree with that. And Brené Brown talks about that too, right?
Yes.
You are in a stage of your journey where you were made for this right now. You are prepared for this all this time. And I truly believe that everything is supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen, and that you are right here where you need to be. Everything is happening perfectly on time. And you are supposed to be experiencing this so that you can grow and learn and move forward in your journey. I truly believe that.
I know you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And it stinks.
It's going to stink in the moment. I was just about to say, and it's going to suck. But it is like required to move forward. You just got to a place where you were ready to do this work. You weren't ready a year or 2 years ago or whatever.
Well, and the conditions weren't right because I didn't get vulnerable it's specifically a partner, like mm-hmm. vulnerability and friendship has, you know, happened. And it's, mm-hmm. it's this new layer, this new level of mm-hmm. vulnerability that.
And it sounds to me like you're handling it. You're feeling all the crappy, you're feeling all the shit, you're not eating biscuits, and you're...
I think I need to, like, print that out and be like, you threw the damn biscuits away, girl, you got this.
You got this.
I'm telling you, they smell so good. And I'm very angry that they're in the trash can right now.
Go and squirt. I think about that scene from... that show?
I took them all the way out to the trash outside, so I can't, unless I'm going dumpster diving.
Sex in the City. It was Sex in the City. It's my favorite episode when she has this cake and she keeps eating this cake and she finally throws it in the trash and then she squirts soap all over it. So she doesn't eat anymore. So it's like, if you need to do that, do it. But it's done. It's done. The biscuits are done. They're not good. They're not hot anymore. Whatever.
Right.
But yeah. But it's like, that is such an amazing, specific example of, you've got this.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Take care. We're here for you, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So sweet. All right. I don't know, y'all. I think about, I can just relate to what she's saying. I've been through something similar, so I know. I was in a relationship for a long time, and it ended, and it's something that was supposed to happen, but it was supposed to grow me. And I just think that everything that happens to us is for us. I think everything happens for us. And so I want you to know that, Tanaya, that this is happening for you. It's hard to believe that right now, but you'll get to a point where you realize that. All right. Okay, Angela, you are up next. Hey.
Hey, beautiful. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for that. You're beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. You look all sassy today with the bangs and the necklace. Looking great. Yeah. So this is part of my big ass action challenge to myself, is to come here. I'm trying to figure out why I keep eating like an asshole.
Okay.
So with my, we have a Fab 40s Marco Polo group, and one of the girls coined the term eating like an asshole. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we go off plan for like no particular reason. And I've been doing my recovery sheets, and like nothing seems to be coming up in particular that I'm eating off plan or overeating. And I don't know, I thought maybe talking to you yes. might help pull it out a little bit, but like the most thing that has come up has just been like generalized anxiety, like worry. Mm-hmm.
Worrying about what?
I think one of the big things I'm worrying about right now is my
Oh, you're cutting out. Are you there?
Jumping. Oh. Yeah, sorry. Is that all right?
Yeah. Okay. I think you're back. You said your job.
My job. So here in Ontario, we have a government that's cutting funding to education, and I'm a teacher, and I'm not like super high on the seniority list. Mm-hmm. So I probably won't have a job, like a full-time job next year mm-hmm. for the school year. And like we just bought a house this year, and you know, that was a pretty big deal for us to buy our first home. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of it, my generalized worry is like, how am I going to afford my life?
Yeah.
And how am I going to afford, you know, to contribute? Like my husband, we bought a house that either one of us could afford on our own, mm-hmm. right? So if something happened to one of us, we'd be fine. But so that's the one thing I'm like probably worried about the most.
Okay, so you know why you're overeating.
It's really that easy?
It doesn't even have to be that. It can be even easier than that. I was coaching somebody on Ask Coaches. It can literally be, I want that. That can be the thought. I want that, and I want to get what I want.
Wow.
And the feeling is, you know, the feeling is like uncomfortable. You know, when you overeat, you're always wanting to not feel something, mm-hmm. right? And so for you, it might be the worry or the fear, you know, around what's going on. But it could literally be like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable right now and say no to something, so I want it, so I'm going to eat it. That's your recovery worksheet. I mean, it's not some big, deep, dark secret or, you know, a dark feeling that you're trying to cover up. It's literally like, I don't want to be uncomfortable right now, so I'm going to eat instead.
Yeah. And we've talked about the deep, dark secret thing before. I guess I didn't really believe it can be that simple, that I want it or whatever.
Because I mean, you know, if you think about it, if you really talk about zooming out, I was talking about zooming in and zooming out a minute ago. Like when you really zoom out, you have been telling yourself, I want it. And you've been giving it to yourself for years and years and years in the past, right? You have been reinforcing that pattern for years. Well, your brain always wants to just go to its old patterns. And so it can, you know, it doesn't ever have to be any more complicated than that. I mean, you know, sometimes it is. Sometimes you got other things going on, but it's just your brain is going to want to just be like, but we want that. And we don't want to feel uncomfortable, or we don't want to feel fear, or we don't want to feel, you know, doubt or whatever it is. So let's eat.
Like, I feel so stupid.
When that's not why I said that for you to feel stupid.
No, right? I know that's not why you said that, but you know how your initial reaction is like,
well, you're just overthinking it because you're thinking something has gone wrong. You're thinking, wait a minute, I'm broken. I will never figure this out. I'll never, you know, what is it? Well, I mean, why can't I get this? And it's because you're looking for something more complicated than that.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it's just our pesky brains, and they just want to go back to homeostasis and go back and do the easiest thing possible. And so you want to eat. And when you don't, it feels like crap. And then you think something's gone wrong because of how crappy it feels. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's supposed to feel crappy because you're doing something against what your brain, you know, wants you to do.
Okay.
And so then, but the more you do it, the more your brain goes, well, maybe she's really like actually going to do this time. And so maybe I won't be as, you know, argumentative from here on out. Now that doesn't mean it's going to go away totally, but it's going to be, you know, the resistance is going to become less and less over time, but it's just that practice of not responding to those urges.
All right. Well, thank you for making me do my big ass action today, even though it seems to be the same big ass action every time I talk to you.
I will talk to you every Saturday. I'll be
every Saturday until I get it through my head that it's really just that easy and stop eating like an asshole.
And I mean, I think you're just, I mean, eating like an asshole, if that helps you, that's fine. But I mean,
It just makes me laugh.
That's what I was going to say. If it's funny, then that's fine. But don't use it as a way to beat yourself up by calling yourself an asshole, right?
Well, and I think that's one thing I've noticed that has changed is that because of what I'm doing with my Marco Polo group and we share our recovery sheets with each other, I don't beat myself up about it anymore. It's like, okay, hey, cool. I made it through one day without a recovery sheet. Oh, well, fuck it. Today is recovery sheet day and it's fine. And, you know, we talk to each other about like some days, some of us have two recovery sheets, you know, and I think that's definitely made it a lot easier. And I'm not as, you know, oh my God, it's the end of the world, you know, but I still am stuck on the story that it has to be, there has to be a reason I'm eating and I need to let go of that story.
And there is always a reason, but a lot of times it's a very simple reason.
Yeah.
And it's just our brain doing what it's good at doing. So.
Well, thank you for our Saturday visit.
Yes. All right. Talk to you later. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's see. There she goes. Okay. Ivy. Hi.
I'm excited I'm on this call.
Yes. How are you?
Hi. Good. Sorry. I'm cleaning bathrooms and I was hoping to get in to get a call. So I'm so excited. Let me sit down. I talked to you last week and been really working on my binging. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Corinne did a call with, or she talked about somebody who had frosting, a can of frosting on their plan, like every day and didn't have it. And then, you know, finally have it, but didn't have that much. So I thought that's brilliant. Because I've been really working on my realistic plans. Mm-hmm. I'm no sugar, no flour, except from exceptions. Mm-hmm. And, I thought I'd been doing better on my realistic plans, and I think my binges are reducing, but then I thought, well, what if I just put my binge food on my plan? So I did that, and I put donuts and cheesecake and Ben and Jerry's ice cream, mm-hmm. along with, just my normal healthy on protocol food. And right. I didn't have it for 6 days straight. And then the seventh day I went to Target and they had a sale on Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And I thought, well, I'll put it for like an exception eat. So I hid it for myself in the back of the freezer. Well, it didn't last more than a few hours. And I told myself I was going to do a Tedious and Powerful worksheet with it. Mm-hmm. So I pulled that out and I tried to like really eat it intentionally and savor it. And I ate the whole thing, mm-hmm. but I stopped there mm-hmm. and I didn't continue binging, that's an improvement for me. Mm-hmm. And then I told myself
on your plan, right? For that day.
It was on my plan. Yes. Yeah. So it was on my plan. And so I was telling myself it's okay. And I'm tried to be open and curious and like, yeah. see how this is going to take me. Cause this is like crazy to me. I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And then I told myself, well, I'll wait till I get hungry. Cause Corinne says you can't eat till you get hungry. And I never got hungry. So I had that at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And then I went to bed at 11 and I hadn't eaten and I was totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. It was good. Mm-hmm. And, so am I doing this right? Cause now I've been like so every single day since then I've been putting my binge food on my plan. Mm-hmm. And, I've been putting seized candy that, I had bought for the girls for other stuff. And then I end up not having as much.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, it's not going to help with my weight loss, but I feel like less restricted. So I don't have that.
Right.
I think it's going to help with my binges that if I don't feel so restricted, it's on my plan.
Right. Yeah.
So am I doing this right?
This whole process is not about weight loss. Right. It's not right. about weight loss. It is about, not eating behind your own back, mm-hmm. being totally intentional and aware and conscious of what you are planning to eat and what you choose to eat, and just really seeing everything that you put in your mouth as an intentional plan choice and a totally neutral choice. Right. I think last time we talked about how, it's about making binges not a big deal. When they are on the plan and they're just part of the plan, mm-hmm. they're not a big deal. It's just, yeah. they're just choices. And so,
that's
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a practice, right? Just like everything we're doing is a practice. Yeah. And it's kind of a mind fuck here, at first, but yes. it's like, wait a minute, if it's on the plan, mm-hmm. It's like, you may eat it and that's fine. Right. But it's just, mm-hmm. it's almost kind of like, it's just not as fun when it's all on the plan. You're just not as sneaky and you're not, cause I mean, I was listening to you when you said you bought the ice cream and you kind of hid it for a while and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, buy the ice cream. It's on your plan. You buy the ice cream and you eat it if you choose to, but you were kind of trying to make it like, okay, by doing the Tedious and Powerful worksheet or whatever. And it's right. like, no, if it's on your plan, you can have it. It doesn't okay. have to even be a learning experience. It's just like, it can just be, you're choosing to eat what you have planned.
Okay. My brain is hurting from that.
Yeah.
Cause my big thing is foods are good and bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm really trying to like tell myself, no, it's just food.
Yeah.
And I'm telling myself that some is more nutritious and some is less nutritious. And that's okay.
That's right. But again, we all eat a mixture of nutritious and non-nutritious food all the time. So, okay. I think it's best to just say food is just food. Food is food. And we choose foods. Then they're just choices. They're not good or bad. They're not anything. They're just choices.
Okay.
And these choices don't mean anything about us as a person.
So do I just keep putting my binge food on my plan every day?
Mm-hmm.
Like indefinitely?
Maybe not indefinitely. I mean, if you find that you're like not eating it
mm-hmm.
ever, then, mm-hmm. practice not putting it on your plan. But I also, I think at that point that you really do some journaling and you really like, what are your thoughts around taking the binge foods off of your plan? You know, really get your mind right that I'm taking these off of my plan because I don't need them anymore, because I know that I can always just, I can always make whatever choices I want each day. You know, you want to have a good reason for taking them off your plan. You don't want to be living in fear of not having them on your plan. So I say keep them on as long as, I mean, don't set yourself a deadline. Just keep doing it, you know, keep having them on your plan. And then I think you will get to a point where you're like, okay, I don't need to do this anymore, but I can't tell you how long that's going to be. I can't tell you when that's going to be.
You
will know that. And you also may take them off your plan and then you might have a binge, and that's okay. Right. Because then you'll learn, oh, this must not have been the time that I needed to take it off the plan yet. And that's okay. But
the idea is I have to have mental negotiation with myself that, because I tell myself, okay, it's on my plan, I can have it. And then if I'm deciding if I'm going to eat it or not, I have to say, well, if I eat it, I might not have weight loss this week. Or, you know, how much do I want or not? So am I thinking right that I'm supposed to have the mental negotiation with myself like that?
Yeah. I mean, because you do choose whether you eat it or not, but you want to, you don't want to have negotiation where you're saying, well, do I want to do something good today? Or I want to do something, you know, do I want to be good or bad today? You know, you want to watch that.
Yes.
And, because I think that's kind of where you are, right?
Yes.
And so it's just like, you need to decide, like, okay, if I'm going to choose to do this, I'm going to be okay with it. And I'm going to make, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. And I am just going to choose to do it from a really neutral place. And I'm not saying
that sounds so easy.
I'm not saying that's easy, but it's just, you know, I don't know. I just can't really. It's just a practice, and it's just, like at first there's going to be more mental negotiation than on down the line, because on down the line you're going to be like, nope, I'm good, and then you're just going to move on, and then that will be a sign that like you're probably close to being able to take it off of your plan. But so kind of watch your mental negotiation, right? And the more that you just write it on your plan, it's going to become more neutral, because you're just all those foods that you're going to write down, they're just going to be like, you know, when we write something, it really kind of creates this neutrality of things. And, you know, it's not swirling around in your head. You don't have all the stories around it, you know, and all the drama around it when you just write it and you see it in black and white. So the mental negotiation is just going to decrease naturally over time, because you're just going to get so used to seeing it on the plan, and it's just not going to be, you know, be as kind of as charged, right? That's the whole point of it, is just to see it as part of the plan. You can choose to do it or not. It's not this fun, exciting new thing. It's just part of the plan.
Okay. I'm going to work on this.
Okay. So just keep doing it.
Yes.
And check back in with me.
Thank you, Betsy. You're awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. But you're doing the work. You're doing great.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Love it. Thank you so much.
All right. Let me answer a few questions here. Amber says she don't want me coming on camera. She's trying on Spanx for her bestie's wedding tomorrow. Yeah, I don't want to see you trying on Spanx. And that's like a workout in itself, y'all. Somebody posted about Spanx the other day. It was funny. Corinne mentioned you all be hosting an intensive 2-day in addition to camp next fall. Do you know when the dates will be announced? I believe, so the camp the camp registration is opening on June 1st, and I think maybe the 2-day registration will also be open then. Don't quote me on that, but it will be in August. So the 2-day will be in August, I don't want to tell you the dates yet because I'm not sure that they have absolutely been confirmed. But the 2-day will be in August, and then the camp will be in October. And so I know for sure that the camp registration opens June 1st. And so the 2-day registration, I believe, would open around that time too. Sarah, you just raised your hand. If you want to talk, raise your hand because I've still got a few minutes. Oh, there's Sarah. Okay. Sarah, let's just get you on here. Because you're talking about eating past your 2. So let's get you on here, and then I'll answer the last few questions. Hi, let me unmute you. Hi, how are you?
Okay. Good, how are you?
Good.
All right. So I am, I don't know why I can't stop eating at my 2. I think I understand what 2 is. I think I know I'm perfectly capable of doing that. I know sometimes it's emotional. I mean, I know there are times when, you know, there's stress, and I recognize that, like, I'm eating, and you know, this is the first time in 4 hours that I've been, like, relaxed and calm because of a stressful day. Mm-hmm. And so I get that, right? I do. I get those times when I'm like, well, you know what? That was like, you know, being kind to myself, right? Like, you had had such a stressful day, and you're still kind of in that place where you're going to food to make you feel good. And even though I was eating like my planned food, I like my planned food. So, yeah. But man, other times, like I did it this morning, I was fine. I just was eating. I was trying to be intentional. And then, like, next thing I know, I'm at like a 4. And I was like, ugh, why?
What do you think? And so I want you to break it down this morning. So what do you think was, you said you were trying to be intentional, but did you, was there some moment where you stopped and you kind of went into a zone, or?
You know, maybe there was. I have been trying to be intentional, but, you know, my kids were running around, yeah, and we weren't eating together because my son had a game. It's one of those days, right? Yeah. You know, my husband's away, son had a game, other kids running around.
So you were just distracted. You were just like, you know, you started at the beginning. Okay, I'm going to be really intentional. But I mean, you know, your brain doesn't want to be intentional, right? It wants to, like, go into, you know, into the zone of just zoning out. It wants to zone out. And then when you have all this other stuff going on, you're distracted. And so, yeah, it's like you started out as intentional. And then as the meal went on, you got distracted. But you just kept eating because that is our habit, to just take bite after bite after bite. That's totally normal. And so now you've just learned that, okay, I'm good at first, you know, of being intentional, but then I know, you know, as the meal goes on, I'm going to have to come up with something else where I kind of check in with myself. Like, I'm going to, like, for you, okay, maybe a matter of, like, you know, the first half of the meal, like, you eat half of your meal. You know, and this is, again, just a practice. This isn't going to go perfectly every time.
Right, right.
Just commit to, okay, I'm going to eat half my meal, and then I'm going to stop for 5 minutes and really assess my hunger and really get back refocused, even with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think you need to practice doing.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Okay, see, I knew that would help if I had asked.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad.
Because I've been trying to figure it out myself. And I have, like, sometimes I'll say, okay, I'm going to leave 4 bites. And, you know, almost every time when I get to those 4 bites, I'm fine leaving them. But I just find all these meals. And I know for me, overeating is like, I really eat a healthy diet now. I've been really, and that's, you know, everyone has their struggles, but for me, it's like I eat too much.
Right. And that's, I mean, and that's, you know, if I struggle with anything, that's, I mean, I struggle with a lot of stuff, but it's like, that's something I still struggle with. It's like, oh my gosh, this is a freaking salad. And yeah. But it's just so good. And I don't want to stop. And I know I'm at my 2. So it's just like, it's totally normal. It's totally, you know, what's going to happen. But yeah, it almost sounds like, so you've got the few bites down, but you're, yeah, even, but you need to even stop before that. I mean, it sounds like you might still, like, be overeating even if you leave 4 bites. So yeah, try the half thing. Okay, and then just, I mean, and that just forces you to just kind of to slow down and to refocus and all of that. And so, yeah, I think that'll be a really good thing for you to practice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all right. that.
Okay. Cool. See okay. ya. Thanks. Bye. Okay, Trisha. I'm going to do Trisha and Indria, and then we'll probably be done. Indria, maybe. I want to get everyone's name right. It's important to me. Hello? Are you there? Trisha? Hello, Trisha. Are you there? Let's see, she didn't leave a question, did she? Okay, I don't hear you, Trisha. So I'm going to take you back out and get in. Oh, she says she can't speak. Okay. I'm going to take you back out then. Oh, she doesn't have a microphone. Okay. Someone said I need to be realistic. Who am I kidding? I've only been idealistic, right? So you want to move from idealistic to realistic. Yes, you can send me a question, Trisha. You can put it in the chat or you can put it in the Q&A and I'll answer it at the end. Okay, so in Indria, you will be the last one and then I'll do questions. All right, and I want to know how to pronounce your name. There you are.
Hi, Indria, by the way.
Indria.
I usually answer to anything, but it's Indria.
Yes, yes. And I remember you from last week. We had an awesome call last week.
Yes, I did. I kind of need some help from jumping over the edge.
Okay.
I just, every Friday, it just hits me. Like, I just see, you know, I'm on day 27 and I haven't lost anything. I've gained from when I started and I just kick myself, you know, like Saturday, you know, Fridays is just such a, oh gosh, I have to see how much, and I know I'm supposed to keep my eye on my own lane, you know, and mm-hmm. keep an eye on me, but it's just like, you know, and I posted a question, you know, like, when is data more than data? When is data like, okay, you know, this isn't working. Like,
right,
not
right.
isn't working, but what do I, you know, and I know what, I don't know, I need just help.
Yeah. Okay. So data is more than data when you're making it mean more than just data, right? I mean, it's like when it, you know, and I think we're talking about the scale here, like when it can ruin your day, then it's more than data, right?
And yeah.
Yeah. And like when it can cause you to, you know, just screw the weekend and all that kind of stuff. What if I told you not to weigh at all?
You know what? That's funny because that's one of the things that I actually wrote was that I wasn't going to step on the scale until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And because I every day and then it kind of, you know, whatever I put on, you know, write down, then it's like it determines how the rest of my day is yes. going to be. Or I'm going to be really good, you know,
right.
watch what I eat, or I get really bummed out and it's just like, I just can't, you know, this isn't working. It's not going to work for me. And
okay, so this is what I want you to do. This is real simple fix.
Okay.
I want you to focus on the other data because there's other data, right? In terms of, and I want you to print out that tracker and I'm gonna put a link to it. If anybody in the chat knows where that tracker is, I think it's on the worksheets page. I know it's on the worksheets page.
Right.
At pmptribe.com.
The measurements, is that what you're talking about?
No, no, no. This is just a tracker where you, like, for the month. So let's say for May, just start today if you want to, or you can go back and look at your data from the start of the month.
Okay.
You mark whether you followed your plan, whether you assessed, whether you drank your water, whether you slept, and it has a few other things you can track. So okay. that's what I want you to track.
Tracker?
The habit tracker.
Okay, gotcha.
That's it.
Okay.
So I want you to do that for the month of May. And I mean, you can weigh on Fridays if you want to, but I mean, you know, I want you, that's the maximum amount of time I want you to weigh in terms of, you know, every Friday, but you don't have to even weigh yourself at all like this month if you didn't want to. You could just focus on the data that is going to, that is really important, right? I mean, the real important thing are your actions that you are doing every day, every moment, all the choices you are making. That is what is going to lead to weight loss.
Okay.
It's not what the number on the scale says, because it's like there's a million factors involved in that number on the scale.
Right.
The way the machine is, you know, the way the machine itself works, it means it depends on if you've pooped that day, you know, how much sleep you've had. I mean, there's so many factors. And then we give that little piece of metal so much power over our emotions. And so,
one of the, you know, start, stop, mm-hmm. continue, whatever was stop was not to look at the scale.
Yeah.
And first thing in the morning, it was like, you know, took everything out of me, and I still got on the scale. And it said I was up 3 pounds from yesterday, which there's no way I gained 3 pounds overnight.
Okay. So you need to, you have some, like your husband or somebody in the house who could hide the scale from you.
I'm going to have to. No, I mean, I have to be able to control myself. Yes. You know, I haven't ever hide the reason.
I'm kind of kidding, but I'm not kidding. I mean, it's like, you just don't even want it to even be an option.
Right.
Because like I said, you're giving it a lot of power over you, yeah. over your emotions. And when I was doing a live like a year or so ago, I had this little bitty scale. It's like only like the size of it's smaller than a piece of paper. And I bring it in and it's just like, this thing didn't do anything to me. It's just like doing its job. And I, you know, it doesn't have power over me. So that's the way to do it. And then just focus on the data that's really important, which is all those habits.
Okay. And I think that will affect, you know, by not having that number kind of emotionally tugging me one way or another, you know, I think that will help with.
But here's the other thing. Yeah. It may help you to just kind of stay away from the weigh-in thread.
Yeah, I know.
For a while.
Yeah.
Until you can really just decide that, you know, everyone's on a different journey. I'm happy for these people, but you know, everyone is different. Everyone loses weight at a different rate. Everyone is doing different actions. You know, it's like, it's all about like not comparing your journey to anyone else's.
Right. Right. I mean, but it's like, I'm on a weight loss journey. So
right.
kind of where,
well, but I think it's important to remind yourself that, yeah, ultimately you want to lose weight, but maybe you got to figure all this other stuff out at first. I mean, and that's true, because I mean, just like with Ivy, with planning her binges and all that, it's like, this is different. This, you know, P&P is different. It's not like you're going to, you know, like all these crazy diets where you lose 20 pounds in the first month, you know, you have to figure some shit out first and then the weight loss comes. And so I just think it's, you know, it's a different kind of journey, but it's a journey that ultimately, you know, if you do it, results in weight loss for life, which is different than all these other crazy fad diets.
Because all of a sudden I'll go, I'm going to cut out sugar, and that yeah. will move the scale, you know, yeah. and I'll go through these panic modes, and then I'm like, okay, no, I can't do that, because yeah. you know, I can't live on panic mode
no.
for the
rest no. of my life. But it's, you know, it's, yeah, it's all about losing weight, you know, the way we're going to live it. And that's probably means it's going to be a little bit slower, and that's okay, because you don't have to lose it again, ever.
Right. Now yeah. I have a quick question also. Okay. Between, I keep hearing a lot of the exceptions meals and stuff. So like, if I'm going and I ask this question and I'm still not really clear okay. on it, so asking you, what's the difference between if I'm doing a realistic plan and I go, okay, today I'm going to a wedding, so I'll put a piece of cake on there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I don't eat cake every day, but mm-hmm. since I'm going to a wedding, realistically, I would put mm-hmm. cake on there. Mm-hmm. How is that? How's it different from an exception? So how?
Yeah, Corinne kind of, I almost wish I had remembered which live or she actually answered that same question with someone.
That was me asking that.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see. Okay. Well, then I need to explain it better than she did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because she said, well, if you eat it, you know, cake every day, I think is what she said.
Right.
Then, you know, but I'm like, well, I just don't understand, you know, like if.
I almost just like wouldn't overthink it. Like, I think for you, just focus on realist, like, don't worry about exceptions right now. Okay. Just don't even have that word. Don't even, you know, lesson in no BS, just you're realistic planning right now. And so for you, a piece of cake, I mean, really what ultimately what an exception is it's realistic planning, but it's like, but an exception is a point where it's like, you're only planning that like once a week or a couple times a week. Well, you're, you know, folks no, who are just starting out aren't there yet, right? And that's totally okay.
That's probably why it doesn't make sense.
Yes, yes. Okay. And so just call it realistic planning, and you plan that piece of cake, and that's your realistic.
The one down the road when you're eating more clean and you're making choices, and you go, okay, I'll have one exception that I'll eat cake.
Right, right. And that's kind of where I am in my journey, where it's like, I mean, and actually today, my husband and I are going to go to the movies later, and we're going to have popcorn. And so that's my exception, you know, for the week. But that is years and years of, you know, realistic planning to lead up to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, you got this. And I think somebody posted, yeah, they posted the habit tracker, but, and where it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I've downloaded this cool little,
scale. Oh yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, and of course I didn't put a rope for it, but I start putting my weight on it.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, like sleep and water, made plan, yes. I assess, you know, on plan.
Yes.
You know, and with my group or with my accountability partner, we're doing the squats challenge. So mm-hmm. I have that on there, you know, and I kind of just check off every day. And
also,
I really needed some hope, you know, more than anything. You know, I was
well, I mean, if you need to, just like, yeah, if you need to just, you know, scratch off that weight column if you need to, yeah. Right? Yeah. Or just do it once a week. Just once a week.
All right. Thank you
okay.
so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, y'all. Let me answer these last few questions and then we'll get out of here. Let's see. I talked to Sarah. I'm stuck on the scale, nothing happening, and I'm careful with eating for a week now. How to endure this nothing happening time? I lost 3 Easter pounds, and since then, nothing. So, first off, it's just, you just keep thinking nothing is happening. Just like I was talking about with Andrea, if you're careful with your eating, then you need to track other wins besides the scale right now. And so, I want you to start tracking, you know, whether you're making a plan and following it every day. Are you getting your water in? Are you getting your sleep in? And just keep tracking that. Those are wins too, along with the number on the scale. And so, but thinking that you have to endure this nothing happening time, that's totally your thought about all of this. You don't have to endure anything. You're just living life and doing your habits. And stuff is happening. You're actually building habits that you are going to have for the rest of your life. So that's what I want you to focus on is all the habits and all the wins that you're having on a daily basis. Jennifer says, I've already met my 60-day goal. Should I set a new goal for the 60? Sure. Whatever you want to do, that's awesome. Again, just don't overthink it. And just set a new goal and move forward. You know, you're doing great. So whatever you want to do. I've been on a good track of writing my plan, but can't seem to stick to it. I think I plan realistic, but tend to overeat. I feel like I'm always hungry. Okay, so obviously your plan is not realistic if you're not following it. So you feel like you're always hungry. What does that mean? Are you truly physically hungry, or are you just wanting to eat? That's what the first thing that you got to figure out. If you're just wanting to eat, then those are just urges. Those are not true physical hunger. But I want you to make your plan as realistic as possible. Put absolutely everything that you think you might eat in a day on there. And then you get to choose whether you eat or not in the moment. So that's how a realistic plan works. So, but if you are truly physically hungry, then it sounds like you need to eat more when you eat your meals. And you need to work on eating when you're at negative 2 and stopping at positive 2. So that's your practice to do right now. April. So I've been part of the tribe since January. I've not been able to be consistent with writing 24-hour plans. I'll do it for a few days and do really well, but then I totally stop. How do I create consistency? You have to figure out why you're stopping. And it may just be like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired of this. And then you say, no, I'm committed to my weight loss, and you do it anyway. Weight loss is a series of decisions made when you don't want to make them. That's really what weight loss, a lot of weight loss is. It's not fun. It's not super exciting and shiny and new. It is doing stuff when you don't feel like it because you are committed to your goal. So figure out why you stop and then just decide that you're going to keep going. Set a specific time every day to write your plans, whether it's at night or in the morning or whenever. And keep doing it when you don't feel like it. It feels like crap, feels like ass. Do it anyway. We can do a lot more than we think we can. We're pretty amazing as human beings. We can do hard things all the time. All right. Let's see. Thank you all for posting the habit tracker. Tricia, let me go up and find you, Tricia. Yes, okay. You joined on 4-3, and I've not done anything else. I'm still on plan like I was as a groupie. I think I need to cull through all the emails and then find the modules to review. No, not necessarily. Just start on module 1, unit 1. I mean, you're not behind. You're not, no one is ever behind at P&P, ever. Everyone is always just at a different place. You know, you're not being left behind. You're not ahead. I mean, everyone is just wherever they are. So if you want to move forward with no BS, go for it. If you want to just stay on plan like you were as a groupie for a while and that's working for you, do it. It's all about the four basics. If you got the four basics down and you want to just keep doing the basics, then do it. You know, don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? How do I find the tribe, though? I mean, are you part of the Facebook group? Are you part of, have you done that? And if not, if you aren't in the Facebook group, if you want to be, a lot of our members are not on Facebook, so that's okay. But, okay, so Tricia, I want you to email support at pnptribe.com and let them know that you joined. Just tell them all the stuff that you said, that you joined on 4-3 and you don't think that you're in the Facebook page yet. And you just want to make sure if you're in there, and they will help you out, Sadie or Mary Jo. Okay, so they'll get you all fixed up. Okay, great. All right, guys. That is it. This was so fun today. Just a good mix of calls and just, you know, lots of good questions, and it's fun. Every Saturday is a little different. So I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Corinne is coaching tomorrow at noon. So she'll be back from Dallas. And so I'm sure she'll have some stories to tell. And so, yeah, have a great rest of your weekend. We're headed to the movies here in a little while with my planned popcorn exception. So, all right, guys, talk to you later. Bye.